We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. We have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them, because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual man makes judgments about all things, but he himself is not subject to any man's judgment. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ.
Thank you, Ruth. We begin a new series today for the next 5 weeks on the Holy Spirit. And this will lead us up to actual Pentecost Sunday, whenever the church celebrates its birthday, whenever the church celebrates the coming of the Holy Spirit and to be amongst the believers for the rest of time until Jesus returns again. Let's just pray together as we dig into God's word today. Father God, we pray and we thank you for your holy word. The life-giving, active, holy word. We also pray for the presence of your Spirit and thank you for that and for him. We thank you that he is present with us and that your word teaches us that as your word is read and proclaimed, your Holy Spirit inspires, directs, and opens it before us. So may we be open to what you would say to us in this moment. May it be your word and your Spirit and not mine, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. So if I asked the question, who here has heard about the Holy Spirit? We would probably all put our hands up. We've already declared our faith in the Holy Spirit earlier in the Creed. He is one of the person of the Trinity. So we have heard of him many times. These are words that are not unfamiliar to us in church. He is a person, not a thing, not an abstract being, but he is a person. He's not vague, nor impersonal. He is part of the Trinity, the one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as we affirmed earlier. The Trinity. There's a mind-boggling kind of concept. Three persons, one God. The three persons have distinct and different characteristics, purposes, and all of that. And sometimes we get so bogged down, so intransigently kind of wrapped up in trying to understand the Trinity and how three people could be one and how one could be three. Because in our human brains and in our human nature and our human understanding, we can't quite get to the point of understanding that. Ruth read some verses earlier, what no eye has seen, no ear has heard, what no human mind has even tried to conceive. These are the things that God has prepared for his people. And so sometimes those mind-boggling moments of trying to wrestle with, and it's right to wrestle with our understanding of concepts like the Trinity, truths like the Trinity, But it's also those moments where we need to understand that actually we will never maybe sometimes totally understand all of them the way that we would desire to understand all of them. Because people have debated the Trinity for centuries. But at the center of it, at the very crux of the idea of the Trinity, is that our God is so big, so powerful, and so mighty that we actually can't understand everything about him. He's three persons in one, and even though our human brains find that hard, we accept that that is the case. So each person of the Trinity has a role and a purpose, yet they are the same God that we worship. So over the next number of weeks, we're going to look through who the Holy Spirit is. Today we're going to ask the question, who is the Holy Spirit? And then we're going to follow it in the weeks coming with, what is his purpose? What is the fruit of the Spirit? What are the gifts of the Spirit? And how can we hear from and be filled by the Holy Spirit? So today, who is the Holy Spirit? Well, he has always been. And that is key in our first understanding of who he is. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1 says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters." The Holy Spirit is not part of the created order like us. He has always been. He is eternal. Before the world began, he was. He was hovering over the waters in those moments where God spoke and things came into being. He was a part of the creation, but not the created order. Does that make sense? He is eternal. He was before all of that. So he sits outside of our human comprehension and our human understanding. Now, in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit is often described using the word Ruah. And in the New Testament, often described with the Greek word Pneuma. And each of those two words literally translated as the same thing, wind or breath. So whenever the Holy Spirit is spoken about throughout the pages of Scripture, he is often described in those cultures and in those contexts as a wind, as a breath. So we know that the wind exists. If we look out at the trees, it's not very windy today. But we know the wind exists because we can see the effect of the wind. We know the Holy Spirit exists because we can see the effect that the Holy Spirit has on us as individuals and as us as a church, as a body of God's believers. And that sense of being described as a wind is that sense that we can't see him, but yet we know that he is there, that he is at work around us. But also his breath, because he is the very essence of us. We'll come to that a little bit later on in this series, that Jesus says that the Holy Spirit will come and be amongst you. That whenever we become a believer in Jesus Christ, the Scriptures teach us that the Holy Spirit comes to live amongst us, within us. That he is the part of the Godhead. He is the part of the Trinity that remains with us until Jesus returns again and all three are back together in that sense. So here we have the very essence of our being as believers is the Holy Spirit. It's like breath. And his effect is seen like the wind. He is present. And his presence will be shown to the world around us by the effect that he has in and through us. Now, in John chapter 14, Jesus describes the Holy Spirit as, the Greek word is parakletos, advocate. Let me read it to you. It's John chapter 14, verse 15. "If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because he neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you." Now, whenever we think about the word advocate, because that's the most literal translation of parakletos, advocate in that sense, what comes to mind when we think of the word advocate? It's someone who advocates for you. So they are standing on your behalf and they are speaking something that you find difficult to speak. They are standing in defense of you and for you. You know, in legal terms, that's what your advocate does for you. But they're also someone who is passionately behind you, who is resolutely for you, who is pushing who you are and your importance forward. As whenever Jesus says that he is the Holy Spirit is the Parakletos, he is your advocate, he means he is the one who draws alongside you and will be with you in all circumstances and will have your best interests at heart. Now, you put that into legal terms. And sometimes if you seek legal advice, you really want your solicitor to say what it is that you what you think. But sometimes they will say, actually, do you know what? That's maybe not the best course of action. The best course of action might be this. And so whenever the Holy Spirit draws alongside us, sometimes he may be prompting us, guiding us, leading us, and cajoling, convicting, challenging us and saying, maybe what you're thinking isn't quite right. Because he has our best interests at heart. We'll come to that a little bit later on. And it's really important to note that Jesus' word says he'll be with you and he will be in you. 1 John 4:4 tells us that he that is in us is greater than he that is in the world. And the fact that he is in us means that we are not orphans. Might sound like a strange thing to say. I remember whenever I lost my mum, and a number of years later I lost my dad, and I remember a number of weeks after my dad's passing, striking that I was out for a walk one day, am I now an orphan? I have no mum and dad. Is that a word that people would use to describe me, even though I'm an adult, because often we think of orphans as children. But and then I remember the Holy Spirit almost gently prompting and saying, but I am in you. You are a child of God. And humanly, it's hard to grasp sometimes all of this understanding of who the Holy Spirit is. And once it's humanly hard to grasp, it makes perfect sense in a heavenly realm. And in what was Ruth read for us today, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it says this: we do not, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we declare God's wisdom, a mystery that has been hidden and that God's destined for our glory before the time began. It's a sense that even God is saying that actually our understanding of all these things might well actually just remain somewhat of a mystery, but we need to trust in it and know it because we can see the effects of his presence with us and in us, and therefore we know that he is here. He is the one who draws alongside us as our advocate, but he is the one who draws alongside us to reveal even more to us than what we can imagine. I remember at one stage whenever I was in theological college and I was sitting in a small lecture room in Trinity and I was being bamboozled, probably the only way to describe it, around some of the theological concepts from the book of Leviticus, I think it was. And then the lecturer stopped the lecture and he said, "You in the red T-shirt, what do you think?" And I'm frantically looking around the room thinking, I hope somebody else has a red T-shirt on. Not just me. But I was the only one with a red T-shirt on. And I kind of sat there almost like a rabbit in the headlights going, I don't know. And then he made a couple of comments about it. And he kind of moved on. And I remember the person sitting beside me, he's called Rob, and he had written on his notebook, and he tore a little corner off his notebook, and he reached it over to me. I opened it up in the lecture, and it said Matthew 11, verse 25. I thought, what the heck's Matthew 11, verse 25? I know you all think I know everything, all the verses of the Bible. So I frantically opened up my Bible and read Matthew 11, verse 25, and it says, do not worry. He has hidden these things from the wise and the learned, but he's revealed them to the little children. And there was a moment where the lecturer, who had all of this head knowledge, but had none of the heart knowledge of who Jesus was. And my friend sent me a little note in the middle of class to say, but you have the heart knowledge, but maybe not all of the head knowledge. And there was a little moment there where the Holy Spirit, drawing alongside me, sent a shiver down my spine, but a huge moment of encouragement that I can't quite understand all of this stuff. But I know Jesus and I know he's with me. And I know the Holy Spirit is in me. Therefore, he will reveal to me what I need to know. The Spirit is the one who reveals. In fact, as was read to us earlier in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 10, for the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God, who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them. In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. And we've received it is not quite the spirit of the world, but the spirit of him who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given to us. Those are beautiful words. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit? And we all know that, don't we? We all have thoughts that only we keep to ourselves, and everybody else around us, even sometimes the people who know us best, don't quite know everything that goes on inside our thoughts. Who knows the thoughts of God? The Spirit of God. And where does the Spirit of God dwell? In you, in me. Therefore, we too may have the mind of Christ and the mind of God. Because the Spirit is the one who confirms. And it's not... It is foolishness to those who don't know Jesus, who have not received the Spirit of God. What we talk about today may seem like loony land. But to those who have received Jesus, to those who have the Spirit of God living within, it's a beautiful thing. Do you have the Holy Spirit living in you? Scriptures teach quite clearly that if we've received Jesus Christ as our Savior, then the Holy Spirit comes to live within us, to be our helper, our guide, our advocate. And so if you know Jesus as Savior today, then the Spirit resides within you. And if you don't, maybe today is the day that you could. So today's question is, who is the Holy Spirit? He's the one who draws alongside and he helps you in every way. Let's pray. Father God, thank you that you draw alongside us, that you help us, and that you reveal to us the things that we sometimes find hard to comprehend or to understand. We thank you that you have the patience with us, that you come to live within us and give us the power and the strength to live out each day. And so today we pray that your Spirit within us, would the effects would be seen around us because of who we are and whose we are and how we live our lives. May the very breath and essence of God be poured out in this place. Come, Holy Spirit, you're welcome in this place. The precious and beautiful name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. But as we close today with the grace. We say the grace together. If you feel comfortable doing so, please keep eyes open and have we look around and say it to one another as we do it. So the grace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Amen.